Thank you to Randy for reaching out and to the elders for giving us this chance to be here and share from God's Word. You may know we were away in Texas for 3 years. We moved back end of last year. It's good to be back. We've settled in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, so about 45 minutes from here. We fellowship with saints at Grace Gospel Chapel in Doylestown. We left as a family of three, came back as a family of five. God has been gracious, and we're glad to be back. As we wait for the PowerPoint to come up, you know, I was thinking about what to share about this morning, you know, several thoughts came to mind, things that I've been reading, things I've been learning from the Scripture. But I thought, you know, with all that's going on in the world, with all that's going on in our own lives, and specifically in the chapel's life here, you know, I thought it'd be good to just step back a little bit and gain some perspective, to remind ourselves of some of God's characters, some of God's characteristics to help reorient ourselves in our trust in God, especially in times of trouble, when storms of life come into our lives. You know, how do we respond to that? And whenever I think of the storms of life, we sang about it right now. Psalm 46 is what comes to mind. It's been a comfort to me many times. In the midst of troubles and storms of life, my mind often goes to Psalm 46, and I've titled it Fearless Trust in the Midst of Trouble. You know, this is a very familiar psalm. You've probably all read it many times. Verse 10 specifically in Psalm 46 is very famous. It's, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted among the earth." You've seen it on coffee mugs and T-shirts and bumper stickers. And you'll hear a little bit of the context of how that verse came about here today. Martin Luther, the reformer, he actually wrote the song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," based on Psalm 46. So it's a familiar psalm, so some of the things they share today might be familiar to you, but hopefully it's a good reminder and encouraging to all of us. So why don't we go ahead and read Psalm 46, and then we'll pray and get started. Psalm 46, and the subtitle here says, "To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The God of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we're just so thankful for this opportunity to just look into your word. We're thankful for your word. It tells us the truths about who you are. It gives us comfort, Lord. It anchors our souls in this world that we live in, Father. And we thank you for this psalm and the truth that it holds for us. Pray that you speak to us and encourage us through the psalm this morning. We thank you again for this time, for the chapel here. We ask all these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. You know, I titled it Fearless Trust in the Midst of Trouble. You know, the trouble that we face in this world, although it hurts, it really shouldn't surprise us. We live in a broken world. Sin back in the garden caused our world to be under a curse. And because of that sin, the world and each of our lives is filled with trouble and filled with hardships and trials. Job says it this way, Job 5:7, "Man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward." So it's almost guaranteed in our lives that we will face trouble in this world. But, you know, even as children of God, we shouldn't expect to be exempt from trouble in our lives. But the question I want to think about today is, how should we respond to trouble when it does come into our lives? There's a lot of commentators that debate on why this psalm was written. We're not 100% sure. Possibly after a great military victory because of some of the later parts, later verses in Psalm 46. But Psalm 46 is a psalm of trust. My Bible titled it Fearless Trust, which is why I used it here. It declares God to be completely trustworthy, utterly trustworthy at all times, but especially when our lives hit trouble, when our lives are shaken and turned upside down. In fact, verse 1, it reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's the setting of this psalm. That's the context of when this psalm was written. It was when a time of trouble, and that's the verses around it is how we respond to the trouble. The original Hebrew word for trouble is the word sara, S-A-R-A, and it describes a tight, narrow, restrictive place. Like the picture I try to show there, it's kind of a tight mountain passage where only one person can pass at a time. It describes like the narrowness and the pressure you feel when you're in trouble in your life. When you experience some anguish in your life and you feel like the world is caving in on you, that's the kind of trouble that's being described in this psalm. I don't know if any of you are facing trouble, but I'm sure, you know, because of the world we live in, either you've just come out of some trouble or you'll face some trouble eventually, or someone you love has gone through trouble. But that tight and those tight situations, those troubling moments, is what this psalm was written for. When life is kind of pressing in on you, and you feel like you can't move or breathe. So when disaster strikes, this psalm is a good one to go to on how we respond when that trouble comes to our lives. So before we jump into the psalm, I do want to just touch on the title we read. It says a couple of things here. It says, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, the song. The note for the director of music is probably just a liturgical notation indicating that this psalm or this song should be added to the collection of songs that they use for their worship services. Of the sons of Korah, that refers to the descendants of Korah who were appointed by David to lead the worship services in Israel. They're the ones who wrote this song. According to Alamoth, that's a unique term. It's a musical term. The Hebrew word means maidens, so it could mean, you know, maidens should be playing tambourines. You see other psalms with those words used in it. Psalm 68, for example, says the maidens were going out playing tambourines. Or it could just mean a higher pitch, like a female voice should be kind of leading the vocals on this song. And then finally it says a song. That's a common title used in 15 other psalms in the scripture. So this psalm itself, if you're looking at your Bibles, is divided into three stanzas. And it's really easy to see the stanzas because after each stanza, the word Selah is there. Selah means pause and consider. So verses 1 to 3 is stanza 1. Verses 4 to 7 is stanza 2. And verse 8 through 11 is stanza 3. So this morning, I just want to look at stanza 1, just the first three verses of this song, this psalm. And I want to break it down into three topics here, three truths that we can pull out from the first stanza of this psalm. It's God's character, God's consistency, and our comfort. And if I were to break that down even further, it would be God's character of protection, God's consistent presence, and our comfort of peace. And those are the three truths I want to examine this morning, and hopefully it's an encouragement to us. So first of all, the first part of verse 1, it says, this is about God's character of protection. Verse 1 starts with, God is, and I'm going to pause there. The psalmist is trying to use his feeble language to try to describe God now. He's trying to define who God is, and he uses two terms here. He says, God is our refuge and our strength. The original word for refuge, mahes, as I wrote here, it means shelter. And we just sang about a shelter in the time of storm. A shelter is a place you go to protect yourself from physical danger. Mainly in the Psalms, shelter and refuge are used interchangeably. So when you think of refuge, you can think of the word shelter. And in this psalm, the psalmist actually uses a similar word later in the psalm. In verse 7, it says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold or our fortress." Very similar idea to a refuge, a stronghold or a fortress. And in verse 11, he repeats it, "The God of Jacob is our stronghold or fortress." And that's where the song, "Our Mighty God is a Fortress," comes from. So a fortress describes a place that's surrounded with protection. It's a place of safety that enemies can never get to. So, you know, what do you think of when you think of the word refuge or shelter? You can think of a homeless shelter, right? It's a place where homeless people who are out and in the public, who are vulnerable, come inside for a place of safety, a place of protection. Or you think of an animal refuge, right? Animals who are endangered being brought into a safe place. In Texas, when you buy a house, they always point out the tornado shelter in your house. And in our house was a little staircase, a little closet under the staircase. It's supposed to be the safest place in your house. When a storm comes, you're supposed to run to the tornado shelter. And we luckily never had to use it. Almost used it one time during a really bad hailstorm. So you can think of a refuge as a place where danger can't reach you. It's a place of protection and safety. And this verse says, God is our refuge. God is our place of safety. God is our place of protection. A couple of years ago here at the chapel, Scott Van Duzer was talking about the names of God. And I wrote this down. That's the only way I could remember it. I tried to go back and find the message. I couldn't find it online. But he was talking about the names of God, and he talked about Proverbs 18:10, and some of you probably remember this message. And Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe." And he described the castles in Europe. I don't know if you remember this. And he described the keep, what they call the keep in the castle. It's the safest place inside the castle. It's a fortified tower in the middle of the castle where everyone in the castle is supposed to run to the keep when enemies are attacking. That's the idea here. God is our keep. God is our safe place that we can run to in trouble. In the Old Testament, we're thinking about refuges. In the Old Testament, you read about the six cities of refuge. It was a place where people could run to when they accidentally kill someone. I'm not sure how you accidentally kill someone, but that's a different topic, right? But when you do that, you could run to a city of refuge. So very early on, God had this idea of creating, his character is a character of protection. He had this idea of creating a safe place for his people. And for us, when trouble hits, we have a place of safety that we can run to, and that's God himself. And I will say, even though I say that God is our refuge, and a refuge is a place that keeps us away from danger, I want to be clear that just because we're God's children doesn't mean that we won't face trouble in this world. It won't mean that the storms of life won't come into our own personal lives. There's just too many examples in the Bible of godly people who've experienced trouble and they experienced trials and hardships. So maybe even more so for the people of God, we will face trouble. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But we have to keep in mind the trouble that comes into our lives is part of his perfect plan. It's part of his sovereign plan for our lives. It's only what he allows to come into our lives, what enters our life. You know, David is a good example of someone who recognized God as his refuge. Throughout his life, David had situations where he needed a refuge. He needed a safe place, whether that was a battle against his enemies or an enemy was pursuing him like Saul was pursuing him. I have a couple of verses here. But these are verses from Psalms that David is writing from his heart. He says, Psalm 61:3, "For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from my enemy." Psalm 62:7, "In God my salvation, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Psalm 142:5, "I cried unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." Psalm 73:28 says, "I have made the Lord God my refuge." Now that's someone speaking from experience. He has found God to be a refuge in his troubled times in his life. That last verse, Psalm 73:28 says, "I have made the Lord God my refuge." How do you make God your refuge? Psalm 46 states that God is our refuge. David says he has made the Lord God his refuge. How do you make God your refuge? For that, I want to look at Psalm 62:8. It's up here on the screen. It says, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." So two things that David does here. He trusts in the Lord at all times, and he pours out his heart before him. So how do you make God your refuge? You put your act of trust in God. Rehearse to yourself who God is, and that whatever trouble is facing your life, it comes from his sovereign plan, that God has allowed that for some reason and for our good, and he is accomplishing something in that trouble. So trust God in the trouble. And in the middle of that, pour out your hearts to him. That's what David does here. He says, trust in him and pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Show him that you're trusting him. Pour out your heart. Tell him that you need his help to trust him, and to remind yourself that he is our refuge. You know, as believers, as those of us who are children of God, we have a shelter that will never fail, because that shelter, that refuge, is God himself, and God never fails. He is our refuge, our shelter from the storms. Again, not that the storms of life won't come. I think everyone here knows that personally. You know, sometimes God protects us from danger. He'll keep danger away from us. Sometimes he'll protect us in the danger itself, when we're in the danger. Sometimes for his own purposes, he'll let us experience the full fury of that danger. And it could mean our very own lives or the lives of ones that we love. But what we need to remember is that danger was approved by God. He lovingly allows it in our lives for some reason. Maybe we won't understand that here, but one day we will. There's nothing that comes into our lives that God has not determined already to allow into our lives. So when our worlds are shaken, when trouble comes, when you're in the middle of the storm, remember that God is your refuge. God is a shelter, a safe place, an inaccessible place of safety that you can put your trust in him. As you trust him, pour out your heart to him, to show him that you trust him, that you know that he's your shelter. You trust his character, that he will not allow something that would not be good for you in the end. So God is our refuge. Next in the verse, the psalmist uses is, God is our refuge and God is our strength. The word for strength here, oz, it's used, it means might or strength, either material might or physical might. It's used all over the scripture, over 90 times in the Old Testament. The very first time it was used was in Exodus 15. And in Exodus 15, if you remember, it was right after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and they came to the other side. And Exodus 15 is known as the Song of Moses. They just experienced this great protection through the Red Sea. And Moses comes out and he sings and says, God, you are my strength. Again, this context of God's character of protection is clearly seen here. You know, when you think of the word strength, you might think of several things, right? You might think of physical strength, like Samson. He had physical strength. God gifted him with physical strength. Or you might think of spiritual strength, like Jesus. He was tempted for 40 days, and he passed the test. He passed that test with flying colors, right? That spiritual strength. But oftentimes when this word strength is used, especially in the Psalms, it's used in this context of protection. God is our refuge and our strength. He is the one who protects us. You know, in a sense, we do gain physical strength when we go to the Lord. You know, when we're going through trouble in this life, and any of you who have gone through trouble, you know that it can take a toll on you physically. It can affect the way that you eat and sleep and how you interact with others. And God often tells us that he wants to carry those burdens for us. When we're in the middle of a trouble, it feels like a burden on us. God wants to carry that burden for us. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Matthew 28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you often gain physical strength when you go to the Lord in the midst of your troubles. You know, Hannah was a really good example of this. In 1 Samuel, you read of Hannah who had this trouble in her life. She was very burdened. She had this great distress of wanting children. And it says that she went before the Lord, she poured out her heart, and her countenance changed. There was a physical change in her when she laid that burden to the Lord. So when it says God is our strength, he can give you physical strength in your burden, in your trouble, when you lay that burden and give it all over to the Lord. But notice what Psalm 46 and how it states it. It says, not that God gives us strength, but it says God is our strength. God is our refuge. God is our strength. So God doesn't just give us strength, although that's true. I think when we give our burdens over to the Lord, God could give us strength. He is our strength. That means that he infuses us with his own power to get through the trouble that we're going through. When you think you can't go any further, when the world is pressing in on you, you rely on God to give you strength to push through. Not your own strength, but God's strength that he gives to you to push through the trouble, push through the storm. You know, we looked at how to make God your refuge, and that came down to trusting him and pouring out your heart to him. How do you make God your strength? One way is to cast your burden on him. He'll give you strength. He'll take that burden from you, replace it with physical strength, and replace it with spiritual strength. Psalm 28:7 is a good verse to answer this question. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. Notice what the psalmist says here. The Lord is his strength. How is he his strength? The second part of the verse. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. See, God is trustworthy to be our strength and our shield. So making God your refuge and your strength comes down to unwavering trust in the Lord. Trust that God can be a place of shelter, a safe place for you, that God can give you strength. See, refuge speaks of God protecting us from external danger. Strength speaks of God empowering us in the middle of the danger, in the middle of the trouble that you're in. God will give you the power to overcome your weakness and get through that troubled time. To be able to endure the trouble that you're facing. You know, you might feel when you're in the middle of trouble that you can't do it on your own, and that's probably a good place to be at, because it's true. You cannot go through the troubles of this life with your own strength. You need the Lord. You need God to be your strength, to carry you through. In the midst of the trouble that we face, our gracious God becomes our strength. You won't be able to handle it on your own, but God becomes your strength to push you through and get you through that trouble. So God is our refuge, the one who protects us in the middle of the storm. The storms of life that come to you only come through his gracious hand. And God is our strength, the one who empowers you to get through the trouble that you're facing. So that's God's character of protection in verse 1, first part of verse 1. Second part of verse 1 is God's consistent presence. After the psalmist describes God's character, that he's our refuge and our strength, he takes a moment to describe God's consistency. And he says in a second part of verse 1, that God is a very present help in trouble. Some translations will say he is a well-proved help in trouble. What a comforting thought. I know this verse has been a comfort to me many times, that God is a well-proved help in trouble. So when we find ourselves in those narrow, constricting, troubling moments in life, you know, God is immediately present, and he's consistently present, and he's constantly available to his people. The psalmist is saying in the moments that we need God the most, in our troubled times, in our storms of life, God is not just present, but he's very present. And he's not just very present, but he's very present to help. God is a very present help in trouble. To be present is one thing. To be very present is a whole nother thing. And it's something only God can do. I don't remember in school when they took attendance, me ever raising my hand and saying, very present. You know, that's only something God can do. We say present, that's what we know. But God says he is very present. The word here for present, the original word is masa. It means to be found. God will be found during our troubled times. So when you think of someone being very present, that means God will be very found or very easily found during our troubled times. So God is in the middle of the storm that we're in. He's not sitting back and watching us go through this troubled time. It says God is a very present help in trouble. He's not passively watching what's going on and seeing how you deal with it, but he becomes your strength. He becomes your help. He's right there with you, helping you through. That's always been a big comfort for me. Often when we're in the middle of the struggle and trouble we're in, we don't see anything else. We forget that God is right there with us. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. God told Joshua, do not be discouraged, for I am with you always. He tells us in Hebrews 13:5, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever leave you. Do we believe that? We need to. God will never leave us. God will always be there with us, even in the midst of our trouble. Back to our verse here, the psalmist tells us, not only is he present, he's very present, and not only is he very present, he's very present to help us. The word for help is the original word is Ezra. It means to provide support or assistance for someone who's weak, someone who's helpless. And that's often how we feel in our trouble. We feel weak and helpless, but God is there to be our help. You probably heard the phrase, it's hard to find good help these days. That's not talking about God. That's in our human terms. The Bible is telling us God, who's not like us, but in his holiness and his perfection, he will be consistently in our lives, especially at all times, but especially in the moments of trouble. When we face trouble, he will be there. He will be present. And he will not just be present, but he will be a help. He'll be a support for when we are weak and helpless. He's always available to his children and able to help us through the trouble that we are in. So we looked at God's character, that he's a refuge and a strength for us. And we looked at God's consistency, that he, when is he our refuge and strength? All the time. He is always there, but especially in our troubled moments, he is very present there to help us through the trouble that we face. And the third thing I want to look at is verse 2. It says, it's our comfort of peace. So how do we respond to this knowledge that God is a who God is to us in the middle of our trouble, that God is our refuge and our strength, that God is a consistent presence in our lives? How do we respond to that? After thinking through God's character and his consistency, the psalmist makes a conclusion. He says, therefore, we will not fear. That is our comfort. That is our peace. You know, it's easy for us to fear when we're in the middle of trouble. No matter what that trouble is, big or small, you know, you're afraid of what just happened or what's going to happen in the future, all the unknowns. And oftentimes when we go through trouble, we get to the end of the trouble, we look back and say, oh, I see how God was working through that. And when we're at the end of the trouble, we have a sense of peace in our hearts. But the psalmist is saying, you don't need to wait till the end of the trouble to have peace in your heart. Right now, in the middle of your storm, in the middle of the trouble that you're facing, you can have peace. Why? Because God is who he says he is, that he is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in trouble, so we don't need to fear. That's our comfort. Because of who God is, we don't need to fear. The rest of verse 2 and 3, I'll read it quickly. Verse 2 goes on to say, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, those waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. The rest of this verse goes on to describe some natural disasters, wild natural disasters, that the earth giving way and the mountains being destroyed, thrown into the heart of the sea. The psalmist is saying, even if the things that seem most immovable in our world, in our lives, the earth and the mountains, even if all that goes away, even if the whole created order collapses, we still don't need to fear, because God is who he says he is, and he is our refuge and our strength. Even if our personal world is shaken, we don't need to fear. Why? Because he's in control. God is in control. Even if everything we find stable around us collapses, God is our place of safety and a very present help in the trouble. So the psalmist reminds us that no matter what trouble we're in or in the middle of, whether that's natural, like the one described in the verse, or physical or emotional, whatever it is, we don't need to be afraid, because God is in control. He's on his throne. He's in control of all things. So remember the psalm, I titled it A Fearless Trust in the Middle of Trouble. And that's because God is trustworthy. It's not all about our trust or our strength to trust, but God is trustworthy, and so we should trust him. So instead of fearing, in verse 10, the psalmist suggests a posture for us to replicate. He says in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." It's interesting. There's a change of tense here. The whole psalm is talking about God in the third person. You know, God is our refuge. God is our strength. Here, it's a statement from God himself. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." This is God reminding us that he is God and that he will be exalted. So the psalmist, God is suggesting that we replace our natural tendency of fear in the middle of trouble to being still. You know, that's very unnatural for us, especially in this crazy and busy world. It's very hard to be still before God. If you have children, I don't think children are ever still. That's something probably they develop when they get older. But there's a suggestion here that we should be still. And the second step is to know. To know what? To know that he is God. To being still, the word is rapa. It means letting go or cease striving. In some translations, you know, stop looking for help and comfort in other places other than God. Instead of striving, be still and know that he is God. Recall the things that we just talked about, we just considered about God, about God's character of protection, that he is our refuge and he's our strength, that God is consistent, not just present, but very present, and not just very present, but very present to help us. Because of that, we can be still before God and be comforted. Instead of fear, the psalmist reminds us to be still, to stop striving to fix a broken situation, stop striving to do things in our own strength, but remember God's character, his consistency, and our comfort. Remember that he is God. Remember all the things Scripture tells us about us, that he is our strength when we're physically weak, that he's our comfort when we are distraught. He is our way out when we are tempted to sin. He's our protector when we need protection. He's our joy when we are downcast. He's our guide when we need guidance. You know, this psalm was written thousands of years ago, but the same great truths are still our ark of safety here today in our lives, in the middle of life's greatest storms. You know, the psalmist wants us to see that whatever trouble comes into our lives, our true security is in God himself, and nothing but God. And again, I'm not saying that trouble will never come. I know, we all know, trouble comes to our lives. And even for the Chapel family here, I know there's been several storms and troubling moments in this first half of the year. But when storms do come, the comfort we have is that we have somewhere to go. We have a God who's our protector. His character is one of protection. He's a refuge, a place of shelter. He's our strength, the one who gives us strength to face the trouble that we're in and push us through. We have a God who's consistently present in our lives, and not just there, not just available to us, but available to help us through the trouble. And we have a heavenly comfort, one that reminds us that we don't need to fear. No matter how crazy the world gets, no matter all the stability around us goes away, we don't need to fear because of who God is. We can be still before God and remember his character. It's one of protection. Remember his presence is one that is consistent. And remember that our comfort because of that is one of peace. We have a heavenly peace that no one or nothing in this world can take away from us. So I pray that these truths would encourage us as we go on in this life. There will be times of trouble. I know we may have just come out of trouble or going into trouble, or someone we love will go into trouble. Run to Psalm 46. Remember that God is a God of protection. That's his character, that he is our refuge. He gives us strength to go through. God is very consistent in our lives. He's very present at all times, but especially in troubled times. And because of that, we can have peace. No need to fear in this world because of who God is. So we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, I'm just so thankful for this time that you've given us to be together, and thank you. Thankful for your word. Thank you for the truths that remind us of who you are, God, that you are our refuge. You are our place of safety. the trouble that we face in this world only comes to us for our good, and it's determined by you for our good and for your glory, God. And in the midst of that trouble, you are our strength. You, when we feel weak, when we feel that we can't go on any further, you empower us with your strength. You are our strength to get through the troubled times. You are a consistent presence in our lives, Lord, at all times. You promise to never leave us nor forsake us, but especially in troubled times, you're not just present, but you're present to help us, to be a support for us when we feel weak and helpless. And because of that, God, we were left this morning with the comfort of peace. We have peace in our hearts. We are reminded that we have no need to fear, nothing in this world to be afraid of. If you are for us, who can be against us? And we're so thankful for your word, the truth and comfort that it provides us. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus and all the blessings we have because of him and his sacrifice to us. Thank you for the chapel here, for the elders and all the church members here, Father. Thank you for carrying them so faithfully this last year and the last 6 months, Lord, through all the storms and troubles that have come. God, you have been consistent to them and provided for them, and pray that you can continue to do that. You continue to do your work here for your glory and for your honor, Father. Watch over us now as we return to our homes. May we have a blessed week ahead of us, Lord, just every day, just rejoicing in who you are and what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus. We just commit this afternoon into your hands. Thank you once again. Ask all these things in Jesus' most precious name.